the conclusion part of the book. This is a message of hope as we remember the birth of Jesus. The conclusion of Isaiah has a rhythm about it that reflects the structure of the whole book. And that in turn reflects the structure of the Bible. Isaiah does that. And this is a rhythm of judgment and salvation, justice and mercy, struggle and hope. And today's message, we're focusing on that part that emphasizes hope. The Bible begins and ends with hope. The story of Jesus begins and ends with hope. Our hope became flesh and a little baby, born in a livestock shelter to unknown parents with few resources. But his birth is not his beginning. Neither is his death on the cross his end. He is eternal. He is present and involved. He was present at creation, involved in the creation of this world. He is alive and at the throne of heaven, waiting to claim his bride, the church. Our hope lives in him. As Rick mentioned, sometimes Christmas is a sad time for folks. We remember those we lost. We feel the loneliness sometimes a little stronger during these holiday events. We're closing another very difficult year. Storms are raging, storms of all kinds. We especially, our heart goes out to those in Kentucky and around. But there are storms of all kinds raging. People are angry, confused. Governments are vile and crumbling. Diseases still run rampant. The names of the variants are common language around the house these days. Some of you are staring death in the face. And all of us are headed that way. And so this morning, let's pay attention. Let's focus on the brilliance of the hope that is in Jesus Christ our Lord, and hit the future that he promises for us. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion and the ox will eat straw. The dust will be the serpent's food, and they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. The mess of this world really will end well for those who are in Christ, who have faith in the Lord. God fulfills his promises. He promised Abraham a rich land and a nation of priests to tell the other nations the good news. And we are grafted into that nation, the nation of God, when we accept his offer of grace. We are part of God fulfilling that promise to Abraham. God promised Moses, I will be their God and they will be my people. Even when Israel was so unfaithful that God brought them to his full wrath, he also promised to reserve a remnant. He promised to restore the nation. God keeps his promises. He finishes what he starts. The Old Testament prophets, as Isaiah, like we just read, tell of a coming Messiah, a servant who would not only be salvation for Israel, but for the nations. And Jesus came. He was born. And he lived as a servant king. He fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that a Savior would come. Unto us a child is given. And we see here in the conclusion of Isaiah that the birth of Jesus is not the end of God's work. God will restore the earth to its original glory and peace. The new heavens and the new earth have yet to come, but they will come. The glory of God will be so thorough and so overwhelming that all the misery of this broken world will be forgotten. Doesn't that sound good? We're going to forget about all this misery and sorrow. Rejoice. God is with us. Emmanuel. Rejoice. He is not finished. Rejoice. Jerusalem will be a place of peace and joy. His kingdom will come fully on earth. He will again delight in Zion and its people. Sorrow will vanish for God's people. There will be no more grief over a life too short or too painful. Homes will not be destroyed or abandoned or taken away. Fields and vineyards will produce as they should. Verse 22 says, my chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. Don't you look forward to the days when you can see the results of your labor and it's always good? I mean, that's a good day. I pointed this out before, but when God talks about when he renews this world, he doesn't eliminate work. He likes work. But it's going to be good. It's going to be joyful and fruitful all the time. Peace will be so complete that there will be no separation of predator and prey. The wolf and the lamb will dine together, slumber together. Lions and cattle will dine together, not on each other. There will be no destruction on God's holy mountain. The promises of God are fulfilled in the coming of Jesus and his return. In our day, perhaps there is nothing more visible than this reminder, this celebration of Christmas, when Jesus came as a person. He became visible, touchable, knowable. Born to a virgin who was probably accused of fornication, born to parents who could not afford or did not have the connections for proper accommodation in their travels, born in a stable in Bethlehem. And the first to be alerted by that host of angels were shepherds outside of town. Now, they were not the celebrated citizens of Bethlehem. People of the land, people of the earth, laborers, camping out with the sheep. And God sent mighty messengers to give them the good news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. There's hope. Even in our day, with all of our powerful resources, we cannot adequately answer all the questions that we have. It just struck me over and over this week with all of our technology and all of our resources, we just seem to make life more difficult. We can't answer all of the questions, but we can focus on the Messiah. We can focus on the hope that He promises. We can focus on the hope of our future. He will create new heavens and new earth, and you're invited. That's good news. The last two chapters of the Bible, all the way over in Revelation, restate these promises. Go ahead and look over there. Revelation chapter 21 and 22. We'll read a bit of both chapters because it reflects the very same language of Isaiah. And the promises here are keen. Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated at the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." And then look over in chapter 22 and verse 12. We find the words of Jesus Himself reflecting these very same truths. John records this as Jesus' own words. "Look," in other translations it'll say, "behold, I am coming. I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." As I said in the beginning of the message, some of us are facing serious troubles. Some may be looking death in the face. Some are remembering the loss of loved ones today. It's heavy. All of us are wondering what the weather will bring. What will the next storm bring? When is the next illness coming? When is the economy going to collapse? We need to be reminded today of the hope that is before us. Our Savior promises a bright future. Regardless of the troubles that we face here, our future is bright. The writer of Hebrews, if you just back up a little bit from Revelation, you find the book of Hebrews. He gives in chapter 11 this whole long list of heroes of the faith. So to remind us of the stories of the people of old who lived by faith. And then he begins chapter 12 like this. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He didn't stay in the manger. He grew up. He did what he came to earth to do. He took his place on the cross for us, in our place. Keep on focusing on the truth. He is coming back. He will create new heavens and a new earth. Continue focusing on the author and the perfecter, the pioneer of our faith, Jesus of Nazareth. Keep on proclaiming freedom and peace and new life. I've mentioned Jim Dennison several times before. This past Wednesday, reading his daily article, he again turned to the topic of evil in the world as he recalled the storms and mass shootings. Once again, why does such a loving God allow evil in this world that he created? What do we do with the strife and the catastrophe in this world around us? And Dennison said the biblical response is twofold. In other words, there's two big ideas that help us deal with those questions. With regard to the future, and incidentally, he quoted a Jewish theologian here. He said, Hebrew scriptures look forward to a day when the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from the earth. That's from Isaiah 25. That day's coming. Focus on the hope of the future. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And he said, in the meantime, with regard to the present, we are to join God in the stewardship of his creation as we work it and keep it, as Genesis tells us. The creative ordering of the world has become something that humanity can not only witness and celebrate, but something in which it can take part. We are partners with God in his creation. Today we focus on the hope of the future when God will wipe away all our tears. And then on the first Sunday of the year, we'll pick up that theme of stewardship and focus on participating with God and doing our part. But as we near the end of another difficult year, let us see the bright hope of the future and let us commit to the stewardship of what God has given us. Jesus came to give us hope. Born in Bethlehem. It's such a strange way to save the world. Born a little baby in a barn. But he grew up. He took his place on the cross. He died on our behalf. But he didn't stay in the grave. He is risen. He is alive. And he will return for his church. Count on it. Write it down. Rehearse it. Get it into your mind. And fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's celebrate together his coming.